Good morning, C3. My name is Amalo Rodriguez. I am Pastor Mike's older brother. Some people think he's older than me because he's more mature, you know. I don't know. So things are a little different. My brother and I may look alike because of our hair or lack of, but he's a prepper. He writes notes and all this stuff, and I am not by far. I'm a people person. I thrive off of interactions, people. And when we were coming together to put this a message together, and, you know, I knew about 3 months ago that, you know, I was going to do a message. And I'm telling you right now, I made it. I made it to today. The reason I'm going to get back to saying I made it, because like about 3 months ago when I talk about that I was going to come out here and preach. This is not really easy to do in front of people. And even though I know all of you guys, most of all on a personal level, but at the same time, you know, when you're trying to do something for the Lord, you know, the distractions come, you know, the challenges come, you know, the time you set aside to do something, all of a sudden, you know, it's gone. And for the past 3 months, I feel like I've lived like a year. We had our core meeting and we sat down and I started thinking about things, you know, to, you know, for the church and get things going. And I brought man camp back to the table and I'm telling you, man, I knew the minute that I, you know, we're trying to do something, encouragement, you know, something for the Lord that, you know, the battles were going to come. And that speaks on today's message. You know, today's message is, let's see, Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John that in this life we will have troubles, but he also invites us to trust him to get through the storms. Today we will learn from the disciples and how they reacted when they faced a storm as recorded in the book of Mark. And this speaks exactly to what I've been going through for the last 3 months in my walk. And I'm gonna bring it back a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about myself, okay? I came to the Lord earlier on when I was about 18. I had some struggles in high school. I got in a car accident, and I had a claw of like an owl that I ran over the day before, and I went back, and I grabbed the claw, and I put it on my rearview mirror. And I heard that that's an omen, and my mom, oh, no, you got the lechuza and all that stuff, right? So I was like, oh, so back in the day in Channel 21, there was this Madan Luana. I don't know if you guys ever heard of her. She came out in every commercial. So here my parents take me to see Madan Luana, right? And we go in there, and she's like, oh, no, they do these card things and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, she tells my dad and my mom, like, oh, he's going to die. Like, there's a bad omen that from El Salvador. I'm from El Salvador, by the way, my dad, too. And so they said, the curse was your dad's, but it fell on you. And I was like, and my mom's like, oh, yeah, your dad, yeah, he's done some bad things now. Just kidding. I'm glad my mom doesn't know what I'm talking about. So they have this, so she says, oh, no, he's got to come to 4 different times and 4 different regimens, and we're going to do all these things and all these candles and all this. They're trying to sell me all these things, right, all these potions and all this stuff. And I remember back then, I used to walk around. I used to carry a cross when I was a kid. You know, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I was an altar boy. You know, altar boy from like 10 all the way to like around 18, where the dress didn't fit me no more. Then I had said I had to quit because I don't know what they call it, the gown or something. The dress didn't fit me no more, so I had to quit. But I always carried around the cross. But at that moment, God spoke to me at that young age, and there was this, and God always brings people in your life that will prompt you. And that will bring you. And at that time, some of you guys may know who she is. It was her name. She was a cross-country runner from Alfaro. Annabelle Ortiz. And that lady was so strong in her faith at a young age. And, you know, I had a relationship with her. She was always talking about Christ and stuff. So I talked to her about this. So she takes me to her church, which is Alfaro at the time. And then these guys pray on me, and they start putting hands on me and ask me to accept the Lord, and I did. And I felt bulletproof. I felt like, man, this is amazing. God, you're going to, you know, forget all those potions and all that. This is where I'm going. But it's like the parables, in this part of the Bible here, Jesus is, you know, on the lake and he's, you know, preaching to the crowds. And prior to them getting on the boat and going onto the lake, he talks about, you know, the seeds that fall on good ground, on rocks. And I was one of those seeds that fell on a rock. And the parable talks that you sprout right away, that you're just happy and everything's going fine and everything, but you're not rooted. And at that young age, for like about a week, I felt real bulletproof. I felt so amazing. I just wanted to talk to my friends about God. I wanted to just tell them, man, look, I don't know how this is happening, but it's just, I feel great, and I feel that God's going to save me and all stuff. And boom, the devil just knocks me right over. Boom. It just felt like everything was just against me in that first week or two. And then, you know, I went right back to, you know, doing the things that I was doing, going out with my friends, and, you know, just, and that didn't last long at all. But I always had a relationship with Christ, but it wasn't as deep as what it is now, you know. And so that was when I first came to Christ. Later on, when I had my daughter, Jasmine, at 4 years old, you know, four or five? She was going to the college, and, you know, I was doing a lot of drinking those days, partying, and it was in my early 20s, and my daughter would get up and go to the VBS, right, Vacation Bible School, yeah. And so I was laying down with the hangover, and then I tell my daughter, my grandma was, her grandma, which is my mother-in-law, my favorite mother-in-law, was picking her up. I always thought, I'm your only one. I know, that's why you're my favorite. She's great. So she picks her up, and I tell my daughter, Jasmine, when you go to church, pray for us. Pray for me. And she stands over me, and she says, Dad, why don't you get up and go to church so I don't have to pray for you? And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm ready to snatch her. Like, what? And I was like, who are you talking to? And I knew it was God speaking to me through my daughter. So I got up and I went to church that time, you know. And it's not necessarily we're saying that it's the church and everything, but God put, you know, wherever you can get fed. And I was getting fed, you know, at that time with Lifehouse. And I went and I started understanding, getting more into the Word, understanding what a relationship with God was, with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, this is kind of rewinding. Now, I don't know, about 16, 18 years that, you know, I've been part of a church, attending church. There's been some gaps in my life there where things didn't go too well, where I've been attacked. And the point today is, I want to share is that the more that you get closer to God, it just seems like there's just more attacks. You just get more things that are just distracting you. And when you're trying to do as good as you can, the best that you can, you're trying to be kind, you're trying to be merciful, you're trying to be a leader at home, and it just seems like just things just start piling on. And that's what's been happening to me in the last 4 months since I reached out and said, let's just go to Man Camp, and I knew that I was going to preach it, and that's why I'm saying today I made it. I'm here, I'm still standing, and let me tell you, the enemy has tried to take me down, you know, and what I'm saying is not take me down, meaning that I could have easily gone start making decisions like I wouldn't be proud of. But I'm telling you right now that I'm proud of every decision I made in the last 4 months, 3 months. And I'm still here and I'm standing and I made it. This is part one. Part two is when I come back from Man Camp. We still haven't gone. So this entire week I haven't had like an hour break. I mean, just this morning I had to send off one of my guys to go work at 7 o'clock in the morning, took off my truck. I didn't even have a car. My brother tells me, hey, go pick up the trailer. I'm like, I don't even have a truck, bro. So it just seems like everything's just, you know, things are not panning out, but it's okay. It's just, we can handle it. I can handle it. I'm still here. I made it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I made it. I'm still here. I'm standing. And I'm here preaching God's word. It's not mine. It's what God has put in my heart. And I will apologize. We will go to this thing because my brother put some time into it. We will touch bases on that. But I just can't do what my brother does. I just can't. Because if not, then there's going to be a lot of dead time. And you'll see me reading. Okay? And I apologize. My daughter, you practice? Oh, babe. I practice all month long, babe. I've been talking to God all week, all month. So let's go to Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark, sorry about that. Mark, not Matthew. Sorry about that. I need my glasses. So these are Home Depot glasses. This is where I get my glasses at Home Depot. True story. Jesus calms the storm. The day when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let us go over to the other side," leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious quarrel came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the winds, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the winds died down, and it was completely calm. He said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." So, and this, as we go through life, you know, we're not like the disciples, right? They actually saw the miracles. They were with him hand in hand. These chapters in the Bible, the Mark, Luke, you know, they're all testimonies of, you know, what Jesus did in his time that they saw him, that he was with there. Now imagine they were with Jesus and he had just done miracles on the other side of the lake. He had done miracles. He had been done, you know, speaking to the crowd, and they saw all these things that he can do. But still, in the midst of the troubles, in the midst of feeling like they were going to die, they still doubted, right? Jesus got up, calmed the storm, and asked them, you know, be still, and asked them about their faith. We can easily be distracted, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, in the last 4 months, there's been times where I just thought, man, Lord, really? Like, man, I'm trying to do good here. And I'll tell you, I'm currently building a project. I'm working on a project. I do construction. And I was working on a project, and it just seems like nothing could go right. I got inspectors on me. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, man, are these guys just being racist or something? You know, or something? What's going on? I don't know. But I never had a building official, an inspector, you know, just be so difficult with me. And on one particular day, I was out purchasing material, and I get a call from some of my guys and said, "Hey, the inspector's here and the building official, and they're shutting down the project." And they put a red tag on my project that I couldn't do anything, I couldn't touch anything, that I had to do all these requirements to before I could proceed. So I go out there, and I need to put a fence up. I need to do all this stuff. The building official's taking pictures. He wants to call OSHA on me, all this stuff. And that's some serious stuff. When someone wants to, you know, put a stain on your name to possibly shut me down, and I'll possibly, you know, risking my license and all that as a builder. So what do? I just, okay, instead of sitting down thinking, I'm just reacting. I'm reacting to the situation. Okay, well, I got to go get a fence. I got to do all this stuff. They shut down. And so here I am on Facebook, OfferUp, looking for fence panels and all this stuff. And I meet some guy over here in Fresno. I buy 6 from him. And then some other guy tells me to meet him over here on Orange and Golden State. So I'm there with the trailer. And all of a sudden, the CHP just comes, parks right by me. And he's asking me, "What am I doing here?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm waiting for somebody to purchase paddles." He's like, "Well, I don't know. It looks like it might be you're stealing panels." And I was like, "Stealing?" So I have a trailer with some panels I had just bought. And this guy comes behind him and says, "Oh, I don't have those panels after all." And he takes off. So then the CHP has me there, and he's thinking that I'm stealing panels from job sites. And I'm like, so unlike the days where I used to drink and drive and all that and pray to the Lord, "Don't let this cop pull me over. I'll promise I'll be good." No, I'm bulletproof now. I'm not drinking. I have my tags are paid up. I have insurance. I'm like, I got this. No problem. I'm like, "Hey, man, I'm not stealing no panels. Check this out. I'm showing them on Facebook. Offer. Look, I just bought these." I call the guy, hey, he's all, put it on speaker. So I put it on speaker. Did this guy just buy panels from you? Yes, he did. How many? Six. Okay. CHP's still not happy. Then there's another guy there that's part of the building, whatever, the railroad, I guess, and thinking they're trying to get me in trouble, thinking that I'm stealing panels, which I'm not. And so anyways, so the CHP opens up all my doors, checks all my VIN numbers. He checks on the trailer, who it belongs to. It's just, and I was there probably like 45 minutes, and this guy did his best to try to get me in trouble. And I'm just thinking, I haven't done nothing wrong. It should be okay. I showed him all the examples of what I'm, and then the CHP still gives me a ticket. And he tells me he's going to tow my trailer, and that he gave me a trespassing ticket. And at that moment, I thought, you know, I just got red tagged. I got this CHP, you know, looking to figure out how to get me arrested for stealing panels. If not, he still gave me a trespassing ticket, which, you know, I there was no trespassing sign. I was parked on the side of the road. So, but at that moment, you know, you just can get overwhelmed, you know, and get sidetracked. And I'm thinking, Lord, what am I doing? But at that moment right there and then, I stopped, I parked my truck, and I reached out to my family and everybody. I need you guys' prayer right now. And I reached out to some of my coworkers that I work with. I asked for in prayer. And God just, at that moment, I just stayed calm. And I started, and what God reveals to you is, you know, I am a blessed person. I have a lot of things going for me in my life. And you know what? Red tag, inspectors, CHP, tickets, it's okay. God gives me that peace that I know I wouldn't have if I didn't have God, the Lord and Savior in my heart. You know, so I just, and at that moment, I was like, okay, well, guess, look how blessed I am. I can just, God prompts me to be grateful. I have my daughter, you know, singing up here. You know, I have my beautiful wife. And, you know, I won the lottery, by the way, just letting you guys know. And my beautiful daughter here. I'm sorry, my wife. And I am a blessed person, you know. And I have a lot of things going. Yeah, you know, the problems come and go. You know, and the more you're going to, and what I'm trying to explain to you is, the more in your walk, the more that you start developing a deeper relationship, okay, that's one, okay? But when you become a seasoned Christian, now it goes this way, right? I talked about this with Tony, like, hey, it's here, but then now we got to go out here, right? We got to share what kind of Christian we are in our family, immediate family, friends, our community. You know, it's not really about us anymore. It's about, you know, branching out to other people, you know, and let them see what the person you are, you know, and what Christ has done in your life. And so, you know, that's why, like, you know, the whole man camp thing, we're going out here, right, instead of going here. But so I'm telling you, you know, at that moment, those are the moments that God comes in stronger, right? And what happens? We're tested and we become stronger, right? That we can handle more. And I'm telling you, if you guys are going through challenges, health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, you know, that's because, you know, the enemy wants you. And he knows you're trying to do good. And anytime you're trying to do good, he will do everything to take you down. But blessed that you guys are here. That's what this is about. You guys encourage me. And that's what this is about, really just, you know, growing together as a family. And I'm blessed to be part of this congregation. I'm going a little bit off the weeds, but I'm going to tell you right now, I am blessed in the mornings when I get here. And I listen to, you know, this is a small congregation, but when worship's going on, and I listen to Sister Irene back there, you know, sharing the, God bless you, sister. I'm telling you, man. And then Enrique normally sits behind me, and I can hear his bass, you know, if I'm back and hear the wall shaking when he sings. And it just fills my soul, you know, when I hear, and especially when my brother, you know, turns down the music, all of a sudden you can just feel the congregation, the smallest group, but it's just so powerful, you know. Listening to you guys as a come together in worship, to me, just feeds my soul. And I wanted to share that with you guys, because sometimes, A lot of times I don't get, I want to say that. I've been wanting to say that for a long time, but I don't have the mic, so I have the mic today, so I get to say that. And, you know, so getting back on track, we got to go back to my brother's handout. Okay, let's put in these fill in the blanks. Okay, number one, in this life, you will face thorns. But remember that Jesus is with you. All right, number two. And let's go back to number two so we can fill these in. Is that there? Yeah. I'm sticking to my brother's plan. When you are facing the storm, you need to call on Jesus. Amen. And that's telling you when I was going through that. You know, there's a saying that all you need is a dog to what on your leg. You know, when you're going through the tough time, like, oh man, that's all I need is a dog just to relieve himself of my leg. Okay. Let's do number three, brother. When you trust in Jesus, the storms you face in life build up your faith. And isn't it great to share when you overcome, you know, your challenges and the things that you've overcome, and Jesus walk you through hand in hand, walk you through those things, right? And that's what your testimony, right? And to me, that's, I'll touch a little bit about testimonies. I ran into a brother, well, working right there next to Samar, I run into everybody. Everybody passes by all day long. Hey, I'm out of the way. What's going on? Yeah, and I see Brother Stephen passed by yesterday. And so I run into everybody. And so I ran into a brother I haven't seen in a long time, you know. And I remember seeing him at the Catholic Church when I was a kid. And I was like, and I started telling him about, you know, hey, me and my brother, you know, we're, and a couple others, we're starting a church and stuff. And I thought, you know, this is a good opportunity to start talking about where he's at in his walk and stuff. And he started telling me about Jesus' name in a different language, and that it's some Jehovah this and this because that equals the devil and all this stuff. And I was like, man, I don't, if you guys get into a debate with me about scripture and all, you guys are going to win. I mean, I just, about doctrines and stuff, I just can't do that. I can't get into the weeds and start dissecting stuff. You win. I'll tell you right now, the only thing I can share is my testimony and what God has done in my life. That's real. And right now, and you won't debate that. And that's our testimony, right? And I encourage you guys, you know, to share what God has been doing in your life. And a lot of you guys do. And that's really where I'm at. When people ask me stuff and I'm like, man, that's great. You want me to watch that video or you want me to, okay, but I can just only share what God's done in my life. That's it. That's where I'm at. And what God has done in my family, you know, again, that's our testimonies, right? Like, and that's the most powerful thing in my book. Most powerful thing is what God is doing in people's lives, and I want to hear it, and I want to share it as well. Looking forward to the man camp. You know, I'll tell you, the man camp thing, you're going to see, Brother Tony, that we're the week of, you better be prepared because the distractions are going to be there. Discouragement's going to be there, but we know what's going to happen. And I tell you, when we go up that mountain, if we manage to change one person to just get closer to God, you know, we did our job. And that's all God asks us to do, you know. But I'll tell you what, God never wastes time. He never wastes time. Nothing is ever lost. At any Bible study, at any message that anybody has ever shared. And sometimes you can be sit there and be critical, like, oh, he should have said this. Oh, that didn't sound that great. He probably should have started here or that. Or I already heard that one already. That's okay. But you see, it's not my message. It's God's message. And at the same time, when I talk to you about man camp and all that stuff, and there's doubts or that's not your cup of tea and all that stuff, it's fine. I'm telling you, because it's, I'm only doing the invitation, you know. It's really God who you got to answer to, not me. And I'm sorry, guys. Don't mean to be hard on anybody. But that's the truth of the matter. I'm just here to just share what God puts in my heart. And And God does the rest. Amen. Nothing is ever lost. Nothing is ever lost. All right. Now we are number four. Back to Brother Michael's. Jesus has the power to calm all the storms we face in our lives. You guys get the message, right? You know, I'm going to share that. We come together, Brother Stephen. You know, he encourages me a lot because, you know, he's always doing, and you know, he just doesn't quit. Right? He's always on it, and I've read on some. I've been listening to some sermons about, about grassroots upbringings and churches and communities and just type of movement people are trying to do. And I just want to share with you guys that, you know, my brother and Steven and his wife and, you know, what they do here. And the key to a movement is genuine, being genuine, being honest with each other, you know. And that's the key foundation to any movement, to any organization. And I'm not saying this is an organization or anything like that, but I just want to share with you guys that, you know, I'm encouraged by my brother. You guys know how hard that guy works, how much he does to sing and to put all these things together. I don't know how he does it. He's like the only other person that outworks me. And that guy works. And like I said, and I'm really encouraged because, you know, our small church, you know, it has honesty, you know, it has, it's genuine, it's grass-rooted. You know, what I like to do when everybody is putting all the chairs and everything away, I like to stand right there. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed, I like to stand right there when I see everybody just helping out and putting things away. And that's the most encouragement that I can get. It's just like, it's just everybody's involved and everybody just buys in onto our vision on what we're trying to do. And I want to thank you guys for helping out. And now that I get a chance to speak on it, you know, and I have 15 minutes to kill too. All right, guys, let's pray. Heavenly Father, come before you in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father God, I just want to thank you for today. Thank you that I've made it and we've made it. We made it here. We are here to feed off each other, Father God, to grow on each other, to encourage each other. I'm just so grateful for all the things that you do in our lives, Father God. And I'm also grateful for the challenges. The challenges and just the battles that we go through on a day in, day out basis. Because we are tested, but we overcome in your name, Father God. We have victory in your name, Heavenly Father. We overcome all these challenges. And it turns into our testimony, Father God. We share our testimonies with our loved ones to continue to build your kingdom, Father God. Nothing is ever lost. Nothing is ever lost in your name, Father God. I pray for everybody here, Father God, that they have a blessed week, that they are encouraged by just a simple message today that, you know, from an individual that's all over the place, Father God, but I'm all over the place for you too, Father God. And I'm grounded in you, Father God. And we are grounded in you, Father God. Father God, I ask that you bless our week. I bless that you have your hand over all our families and loved ones, Father God. And I ask that a special prayer for the gentlemen going up to man camp, that they not be discouraged, that they continue to fight the good fight, and that we get up there. And when we get up there, we will say we made it. We made it up there, Father God. Father God, I just pray for my brother and Stephanie on the way back. that when he returns, he's not upset with me completely. Father God, we just love you, Father God. And ask you to continue to be with us and guide us and lead us and grow in our faith, Father God. Father, I love you. I praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys.